So we're live at EXT. Kaya Cater's here.
Hi, how's it going?
Thank you for stopping by.
Thank you for having me.
Kaya, how did old-time music get into your life?
I'm 23 now. I've been playing old-time for about 10 years, which makes me feel old. You know, I grew up in Canada on the East Coast and in Montreal and Ottawa. And my mom worked for a couple of folk festivals. So she started at the Ottawa Folk Festival and then she went to the Winnipeg Folk Festival. And so I felt like I was privileged in a way because I was always around music. And the thing about folk festivals, the fascinating thing is that they tend to bring in several different forms of music. So you can see Cajun music, reggae music, old time Appalachian stuff, bluegrass. You know, they all fit under the umbrella of folk music. When I was a kid, it was just like I had this plethora of genres to listen to. And I really just was taken with the clawhammer banjo. And I just sort of started bugging people for lessons. So at the festivals, they would see the executive director's kid just walking around with a banjo in her hand and bugging people for lessons. And so people just gave me tips out of the kindness of their heart, or maybe because I wouldn't stop bugging them, you know. So either way, you know, I was blessed to have a lot of music around me when I was a child.
Tell me about your fascination with the clawhammer banjo, the style.
I went to many bluegrass festivals when I was a kid. We came from sort of a folk festival background, but we also became really interested in bluegrass festivals, and particularly the Gray Fox Bluegrass Festival, which is in Oak Hill, New York. And so we started going when I was 11. Gray Fox has a bluegrass academy for kids. What that is basically a camp where when you're, I think, from 8 to about 15, you can participate. And you pick an instrument and bring that instrument. And it's a bluegrass instrument. So it's either the fiddle or the three-finger Scruggs-style banjo or the bass or the flat-picking guitar. And you study that instrument for the whole weekend during the day. And then you give a final concert on the Sunday. When I went, the program was just starting and there was about maybe 30, 35 kids. I started off on the bluegrass banjo, actually. And what made me move over to the clawhammer banjo, I think, was purely because there were more people and influences around me at home in Canada that were clawhammer players. And so I was just able to get clawhammer lessons a lot easier than I could get bluegrass Scrugg style lessons. And then it became a really fantastic background for songwriting, which I got into when I was 15 or 16. So, you know, started on the banjo when I was 11 and then moved to songwriting. So it's been, the style has been a friend to me in many ways, both, you know, with instrumental picking and also with songwriting.
We're live at EXT with Kaya Cater. Kaya, this is your second full-length album, Nine Pin. How would you say this album differs from the first one?
I think it has a maturity that the first one didn't have, mostly because when I released my first record, I was in my sophomore year of college, and I went to college in Elkins, West Virginia, where I studied ballads and fiddle tunes and stuff like that. When I put out that first record, it was mostly about reflecting what I had learned. There's a lot of traditional tunes, traditional songs. When I moved to Nine Pin, about 2 years later, I was in my senior year of college, and I was writing songs very, very quickly, and songs that I felt could stand on their own, because I was, you know, every songwriter and every artist is so highly critical of their own work. I was realizing that I had enough songs that I liked that maybe I should try to make a record. I think that this new record, Nine Pin, speaks a lot more to who I am as a person and who I am as a songwriter. It's still rooted in traditional music, but I think that I was able to take more chances. Like, I have a song called Harlem's Little Blackbird that's just vocal and feet, things like that, where I felt like I had the knowledge to be a little bit more daring and to put myself out there a little bit more.
We're live at EXT. Kaya Cater's here. What would you like to say about Harvest in the Plow?
Harvest in the Plow is a lullaby. It's a waltz that I wrote about growing up. it's This is Kaya Cater, and you've left regular radio behind. You're listening to Exit 97.7 WEXT.
Live at EXT with Kaya Cater. That's Little Pink. What made you decide to do that song?
Little Pink is a traditional song that I learned from Jerry Milnes, who's a folklorist at the Augusta Heritage Center in Elkins, West Virginia. And he's a fantastic, fantastic guy and a really quite a prolific academic. And he's one of those people that is very sort of quiet about what he does. He recently retired. He bought a cabin, owns a little piece of land, and makes maple syrup every fall. Yeah, he's a fantastic musician and just sort of lives his life quietly. But I think that he's done an incredible amount of work in terms of the preservation of West Virginian music and the collection of it. To me, he's kind of like an Alan Lomax figure or something like that, or Cecil Sharp. And Jerry learned this tune from a guy named William May, who lived in Mingo County, which is at the southern, very bottom southern part of the state. It's one of the poorest counties. Jerry learned it, I think, in like 96, and I was his student at school. I was a freshman, and he just sort of set this tune on me. He's like, you know, check this out, and he played it. And I just loved it, and more I played it, I think the more I felt it's the bluesy elements within it come out. I played it for years before recording it. It's really one of my very favorites.
That's really neat. I like your version.
Thanks.
So you're from Canada. What brought you down to West Virginia? The music?
The music is really the best answer. I graduated high school in Canada and went down to the States a lot for either festivals or old-time camps. And when I graduated high school, I didn't figure that there was any Canadian university that had a program that I was interested in. I took a year off and just worked. And while I was working, I was playing a lot of banjo, a lot of clawhammer banjo. And I heard about this program in Elkins, which was the Augusta Heritage Center, which gave out scholarships during the summer to old-time players under 25. And I was like, oh, I'm under 25. You know, I was 18 at the time. I was like, I'm sure I could apply to this. So I applied and I sent in, you know, I mailed in my letter of recommendation and my application. And then I also, at the last minute, threw in a CD of banjo tunes that I'd done, just recorded on a rough mix.
Was that EP?
Yeah, it was. And so I sent the EP in. And then I didn't hear anything back, like not a peep. I was kind of disappointed, you know, trying to get over it, like, oh, it'll be okay. You know, I'll be able to find some other camps that I can go to. And then all of a sudden I get a Facebook message from Jerry, who's the guy that taught me Little Pink. Jerry wrote me and said, hey, you know, I listened to your EP. I think you've got some really great stuff. The Augusta Heritage Center is located on Davis-Nelkins College, and the college wants to start a program for string band players that goes year-round. So basically, the program would like to invite you to be one of its first participants. I almost thought it was spam because it just seems so unbelievable for someone to write you on Facebook and say, hey, here's an opportunity for a scholarship. But, you know, he invited me and my family down May long weekend, and so we went down, and we were all kind of skeptical at first, and we met folks from the college, and they just sort of explained a little bit more about what they were wanting to do, about wanting to preserve Appalachian culture and West Virginia heritage and history. And at the end of it, they offered me a scholarship that gave me enough leeway to be able to go to school there, which was huge because this was, you know, like a private school and something I never thought I could afford. They were so kind in doing that. May long weekend, I signed on to be part of the 2013-2014 incoming year. By the end of August, I was a full-on West Virginia resident.
The music, the Appalachian music, it seems not only near and dear to your heart, but the preservation of it seems very important to you.
It is. I think that that's a huge reason why I spent 4 years there, because it's not enough to just go down for 3 weeks and then go back north. In order to really be playing those histories, you have to be willing to spend time with the people from which they come from. That was hugely important to me, and I feel like I would not be the same musician if I hadn't taken that time off to really study the forms. And I feel like once you know the forms, it's so much easier to be able to play with them in a way that you feel is respectful. You know, so my new record has baritone, electric guitar, trumpet, flugelhorn. It's not an old-time record, but at the same time, I feel like it's a reflection of what I respect and the genres that I respect. And I think that it's my duty to give back and to go back and to keep my connection with the state.
So you'll be doing that?
Yeah, I actually just came from playing a couple shows there. We drove through the mountains to go to Thomas, West Virginia, to the Purple Fiddle. We drove from Raleigh, so we came up from the south. It was beautiful just to see the leaves changing and, you know, the Appalachian mountains sort of changing colors. And I remembered why I love West Virginia so much. So it was brilliant.
Sort of become a second home for you?
Definitely.
So we're live at EXT. Kaya Cater's here. Her album is Nine Pin, St. Elizabeth.
St. Elizabeth is a song that I wrote after listening to a lot of Radiohead. And Radiohead has a song called Creep, which I find really interesting. This guy that's obsessed with this woman. And you sort of see these themes too, like, you know, Sting's song, Every Breath You Take, you know, I'll Be Watching You. And so I was sort of a little bit interested in the darker side of love. I decided to marry that with ideas of like heaven, the heavenly and the sinister. St. Elizabeth is a song about a guy who's in love with a woman who he perceives to be a saint. We'll see what happens. Thank you. Kaya Kaner. This is 97.7 EXT. Support the music at exit977.org.